all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth.
Just exhort you this evening with the deeper life, with faith, and we're going to call this teaching simply keep asking, seeking, knocking. Keep asking, seeking, knocking. Yes, you probably guessed where we're leading to, and that is Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. 7 to 12 of Matthew chapter 7. Keep asking, seeking, knocking. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And it goes on. And then he continues to go on about how he's going to give good things. He won't make a mistake in what he gives us. As we take it up in verse 9. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And probably verse 12 is very significant with regards to verses 7 and 8, which I'll just read again. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, you want people to be kind to you, thoughtful, generous. All of those things that make relationship, he said, therefore then do the same. And I think verse 12 is very significant, because if we're not pursuing that, desiring that, believing for that, we're not really going to fulfill verses 7 and 8 and find that we're going to receive very little. It's all there in the scriptures if we're prepared to pay the cost and to get into it and study it and to pray over it and allow the Holy Spirit to interpret his word. But we're calling this evening, keep asking, seeking, knocking. I'd like to couple this also with something else that we know very, very well in Mark 11. And verse 24, again, in the context of asking, Mark 11, 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses? So again, we get a clear indication of where we have to stand right with God and with our brother and sister and our enemy. There are no shortcuts to any of this, and we wouldn't get so frustrated or even angry with God like we do if we ponder and think upon these other verses where we can hold unforgiveness, resentment, hurts and all those things. They are the biggest hindrance to receiving from God. And yet we can be in such denial of this, turning our back on this, and somehow justifying that we have a right cause or whatever it would be, not if we're taking our cross up daily and following the Lord. A dead man, a dead woman doesn't answer back. A dead man, a dead woman doesn't consider these things, for they're dead. But that is taking the Holy Spirit to work that, isn't it? And I know that Rome was not built in a day. We're all a work in progress. Well, going back to Matthew 7, as we have just read here in verse 7 again, which I'll read, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. There are three key words for receiving: ask, seek and knock. They're the three things that often are the principles in asking of God, whether this is literally asking in that sense, or it is comes about through prayer, intercession, waiting on God. You will find the principle is still there and is required, which is to ask. And this asking is to ask boldly, confidently, and in faith, not wavering or not sure or confused. It's a deliberate asking of God and a confidence, because you know that what you're asking also lines up with the Word of God as well. So there is the first thing that we have to understand. And this is all about relationship with Him. You see, if you're in relationship with people, a wife, husband, or mother, father, or whoever it would be, you know that they're going to go shopping, and you ask them when they are leaving the door, oh, can you get milk, by the way? We're short on it. Now, you know they're going to buy that milk. You just have that knowing. You know them. You know that they are reliable, and therefore you ask them for certain things when they go out. Or in education, when we're being taught, when we're at school, sometimes we ask the teacher, we didn't fully understand, and they explained it again to us. Or you ask your neighbour, which is the best route to take if you're going on a journey. You know that they're going to answer. You know that they're going to give you something that you can glean from. Yet how often do we apply that attitude, that heart, when we're asking God? Somehow we either freeze up or we just somehow don't believe it. And yet he says, as you read on, how much more will he give to us? So it's that asking in confidence, in assurance. It's about a relationship. It's about knowing that person so well that you can ask them the same as they ask of you. That's what he's looking for from us with regard to that asking. Let's turn to some scriptures. For example, in John 11. John 11, chapter 11, and verse 22. John 11 and verse 22. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And that, of course, is where Jesus arrives to raise Lazarus up, and Martha and Mary are saying that if you were here earlier, he wouldn't have died. Nevertheless, whatever you ask, he will do it. In other words, she still knew that by asking, in whatever situation, he would do something about it. There's that confidence, that knowing, you see. How about John 14 and verse 14? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So he says, he will do it. How do we know? Verses 12, 13 tell us. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we see then that he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes. So here it is, we come back to faith, believing. And then in verse 13, he says that we're to ask in his name. Whose name? The name of Jesus. And verse 14, he says, if you're meeting those conditions, then you can ask anything in my name, I will do it. That is what he says. And then if we look further to John 16 and verse 23, and in that day you will ask me nothing, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So again, he emphasizes asking in his name, the name of Jesus. Which, of course, we do. And finally, just to familiarize ourselves with these scriptures, because faith comes by looking, reading, hearing these, 1 John 5 and verse 15. 1 John 5, verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So the Holy Spirit, if you are meeting those conditions, you are going to get a knowing that he hears you. You're going to know. That is the relationship, that is what he's drawing us into, a walk with him. Where you know that you know that you know that he has heard your request, your prayer. Now, that suggests to me the Holy Spirit revealing. This comes out of unity and oneness with him. This is a knowing in the heart. And that is a vital thing, brothers and sisters. Because that is how Jesus walked by that principle. He knew that whatever he asked, He knew his Father would do it. And he knew that he heard him. And you have to know that he has heard you. So if he raises that question, and if we know that he hears us, then there is something that God reveals and shows us that we know that. It's revealed to us. It's made real to us. You see, we have to look under the layers of the skin of the onion. And we have to peel them back, peel them back, peel them back. And if we know that experiential knowing, in other words, that he hears us, whatever we ask. So the Holy Spirit then must reveal this, because he's raised that question. So brothers and sisters, we cannot lose in this if we are meeting those conditions. And indeed, they have to be met. We also know with all of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit which we receive, all the teaching that we have over the years, our daily life and living in this world, we also have to ask that wisdom, that guidance, because we don't always know. So you can't separate any of this. And we turn to James chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. You again know this well, but in the context of what we've just been looking at, here we can understand this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And there is the big giveaway in verse 6. Whether you are or you're not in faith. Because if you're not in faith, you show the signs of wavering, doubting. Your confession isn't as it should be. And of course, if that is the case, then verse 7 tells us quite clearly, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And that's what unbelief will do. It makes you unstable in all your ways. That is why the faith teaching and the deeper life is absolutely paramount. It's vital. It stops you from wavering. And sadly, we know so many professing Christians are up and down, wavering, never sure, unstable. It doesn't take much to find out the root of our problem. And I would say as high as 8 times out of 10, our problem is often unbelief. And so if it is unbelief, then something is causing it. And that is why we seek God, we get wisdom, we wait on him, and he shows us. Or we already know, but we're in denial. We don't want to acknowledge it. That pride within us doesn't want to admit it. But praise God, he doesn't give up on us, and that's the whole point. So, you see, it's interesting, but our salvation, the new birth that we've received, throws us not only entirely upon him, but it throws us into asking. In many ways, it's our spiritual survival. I went through a period some years back when I found myself saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry about this. Here I am again asking various things. You know, it's time to move on. I don't need to ask, and you know everything. And the Lord admonished me on that, because he showed me, I have left you in this world of sin, iniquity. Satan, who is the god of this world, I've left you in this world for the very purpose that you ask me. And I make no mistake. And I had to learn a big lesson, because I thought I was being pious. I thought I was being humble. I thought I was doing the right thing. I felt as though this was a sign of growing up and maturity. No, God intends us to ask, because asking is our spiritual survival. And I had never seen it like that until he revealed it to me in that way. And it was a great deliverance for me, I might add. So God does expect us to ask, and to ask in faith. And this asking comes out of a relationship with him and a great understanding of the Word of God. And that is why we spend time in the Word of God. Because as we hear the Word of God, as faith comes by hearing that Word, so it causes us to rise up and ask, which he asks us to do. But many, many times we seem to only ask when it goes from bad to worse. We somehow are not very keen on asking, seeking, and knocking. Until it gets really, really bad, then we find we'll ask God. Otherwise, we'll try and do it independently and by ourselves. And we wonder why we fall flat on our face and nothing happens. Asking is our spiritual survival in this life. This is what keeps us afloat. This is what stops us from going under. But of course, you can only ask if you know what you're asking for, and that is by knowing the Word of God and walking in that relationship with him. Then we can ask. It's interesting in James, where he finishes on an interesting note in verse 12, which he says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So we find that it is endurance. It's staying with it. Because we don't learn everything straight away. These are spiritual principles. This is revelation illumining our minds. And it takes time. It's a process. But he says, you're blessed if you endure. And you endure these trials and temptations. Because he says, at the end, you're going to receive that crown of life. You're going to receive these promises and eternal life. The promise is only to those who endure to the end. The Bible is absolutely clear on that. It's silent to those who don't endure, but it's very clear to those who do and stay with it. And that is the whole point. And this is the key to receiving. This is the key to receive from God. And we go back with that in mind, what we've looked at. And now you begin to understand a lot more what Matthew is saying in Matthew 7, which we're looking at. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So this asking is asking in assurance, in confidence, not in timidity or you're not sure. You ask confidently, and you're clear and precise. And in this asking, you don't get a substitute. You believe that what you've asked for, God will give it to you, and not a substitute. See, the enemy might try and get in and give you a substitute as you start to waver. And particularly when it doesn't come at the time when you think or you hope or you want. You see, God's never late, but he's not worried about our time. He knows the perfect time in which to give and manifest that which you ask for. And then he goes on, and it will be given to you. And then he says, seek. Well, you seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. It is not seeking a ministry, a minister, or the church that you belong to. It is seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. You have been saved in relationship with him, not via through a man, which sadly so many experience. That is not your salvation. You seek him, and in that seeking him, you will find. So what will you find in that seeking? You will find him. You will find his favor. You will find his presence, his love, his protection. Everything that he is, you will find. And therefore, in that finding of him, you can knock. And this idea of knocking here is a firm knock, a firm rapping on the door, not just a little tap. No, no, no. Because you have found him and he has found you and you are in relationship with him, therefore that gives you a great confidence to knock. And in that knocking, it might be open to you. No, 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 no. That's what we want to believe. But the scriptures tell us clearly, it will be open to you. And that is what he's saying here. So, there's no shortcuts to any of this with regard to asking. And then we have the confidence. He goes on, he doesn't stop there in verse 8. For everyone who asks receives. See, he's reaffirming again. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. So he's confirming it again to us, what we just read in verse 7. And he doesn't even stop there. He even takes it a step further in verse 9. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? In other words, what you ask, God is specific and he will give it. No substitutes. Because that is what the enemy wants you to have. He'll be happy to try and get you to have a substitute. God never gives substitutes. He gives the very best. And he will. You see, there are big problems, aren't there, in the house of God. We always show these hindrances. And somehow we like to wallow in these hindrances. Well, God knows. He knows my weaknesses. He knows that, you know, I've only just got such a little bit of faith. I'm so feeble. I'm so weak. The days of that talk must end. God is raising sons in these last days. that have a standing with him. And that is why we have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to empower us in order to have that standing with him. And to know that if we ask of him, he will give. And I want to say in that asking, it's not just for self, my needs, what I want. This asking is far greater and bigger than that. We will find in our asking that it includes many other people. Because as you embrace and read the promises of God's word, you will find that so much in it entails infinitely more than just yourself, your needs, your wants. And in fact, God says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. We're not even to take thought of them. We're not to be anxious about our food, our clothing, our bills to be paid, or whatever. He's actually releasing us from those anxieties that so many Christians are bound by, that hinder our walk and relationship with him. The enemy wants to keep us all bound up in that, so that we don't grow in relationship with God. Because as we grow in relationship with God, we know that he will provide. You know that love. You share that love between each other. He tells you he loves you, and you tell him you love him. That's what it's about when you get in your closet and pray and seek him and talk with him. All of this is to build us up in this asking and this seeking and this knocking and knowing that it will be open. And much of that is for the needs of the church, for your brother or your sister that's going through trial or a physical trial. Many, many things we can pray for, knowing that our Heavenly Father has heard us. And this is how Jesus walked. He walked by the very same Spirit that we have within us, he also had in him. The very Spirit that raised him from the dead is the very same Spirit that dwells, resides in us. And we know he walked that way because he said, I do only that which the Father reveals. He was one with him. And he asked of him. And so when these things happened in his daily walk and ministry, they didn't take him by surprise. Walking on the water, which he did, didn't take him by surprise. Healing the lepers didn't take him by surprise. Opening the eyes of the blind didn't take him by surprise. Preaching and teaching, which he did, didn't take him by surprise. Casting out demons didn't take him by surprise. Why? Because he was one with his Father. And you are one with God. Of his fullness you now have received. You are one with him. And he's purchased you by his precious blood. You are his peculiar treasure. You have been chosen to have that relationship with him. You've been chosen out of this world, even though you're still in it, to walk a supernatural walk. You don't walk like the world. You don't act like the world. And you don't live like the world. You live in two realms, this realm and eternity, heaven. That's why we're seated with him in heavenly places, Ephesians tells us. And so when we read the scriptures, they're simply a confirmation to us. And they're a witness to us. And so I don't see it at all a drudge in verse 7. Oh gosh, I've got to do some knocking and seeking and finding, and I wonder how long this knocking will go on for. Will it be several years? I get so tired quickly. Not at all. You will ask because you're one with him. And that asking will come out of his heart anyway. We're even told he gives us the desires of our heart. So that when we ask according to his will, it's coming from his heart. He's making it known to us. And seeking. We're not very good at seeking, are we? We soon give up. We soon get tired. Well, we call upon him to help. Keep me seeking, keep me knocking, keep me ever moving forward. I can't do it in myself. I'm too weak. God knows our weakness. He knows we can't do it. He knows we can't keep the word of God. You know, brothers and sisters, isn't it sad? This person, J.C. Joshua, good night, bless you all, heard that and yet went. That could be you and I if it were not for the grace and mercy of God. You see, you either hear the word or you don't. The word can either be life to us or death. I pray God has mercy on that person, Joshua. The blood of Jesus over that person. And that what they've heard, that seed will bring forth fruit. So there are the three key words, brothers and sisters, which we've looked in quite detail. Therefore, what you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Verse 12. So it comes back, doesn't it, to a life and walk, a fruitful life. And it comes back to love. And that is the key. Without God's love and love in our lives, none of this is going to work. And that is why Jesus said, as I finish now, by the fruit you will know them. It is the key to this, for asking. Whatever the situation we're going through, whatever the trials, whatever it would be, we are ever seeking those opportunities to reveal the love of God. And he will show, he will lead, he will guide. He makes no mistake. And I think what God is doing more and more now, as we're growing and maturing in all of this, how we're finding that we're in tongues, we're in communication with him all the time, whatever we're doing, wherever we're going. There's just that contact, there's that connection, that dialogue. We can't always talk to him, but we can be in tongues, or we can think upon him. And that's what it's all about. It's that unbroken fellowship. Because by walking in that way, then we're going to start experiencing these things. We're going to find ourselves praying for people, bringing them before the mercy seat of God. There are many times in my daily walk, and if I go places or meet people, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit just leads me to lift them up in prayer, to start to intercede and to pray. What am I doing there? I'm asking God to save their soul. from hell. Is God going to ignore that request? When he says it's not in his heart that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. How powerful our prayers are when we lift that person up before God and present them before the mercy seat of God and pray for their soul. You know, if we ask in faith, because that's one of the greatest things you can ask for in my account, you will see in heaven your prayers. Or you might even see in this life. The trouble is, isn't it, that so much of the church really doesn't have that understanding, that power, that belief, that anointing to pray and to know that God has answered. It seems few get into that realm, get into that consecration of believing for that. But you and I have the opportunity because we're being taught by the Holy Spirit, and therefore God is expecting that from us. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. That is the Father's heart to us. What a great and merciful, loving Heavenly Father we have. Praise his name. Well, there we are. Keep asking, seeking, knocking. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't listen to the enemy, his lies. Just continue to do it. And one day you will see. You will see that God is more than faithful. But the warning in those few verses is that in that asking, do not take a substitute. Amen. Father, thank you again. Thank you for being with us this evening. Thank you for drawing the remnant in to come into your presence and to listen and to hear from you. Father, bless, preserve and keep each one of us. May we be found faithful, Lord, in that asking, seeking, finding, knocking. Help us to be faithful in this, Father. Help us not to take substitutes. Help us to remain always before you in fellowship, in unity and oneness. Father, so many are looking for an experience, something different, some emotion, some feeling. But Lord, we know there's nothing new under the sun. You're the same yesterday, today and forever. And you fail not. And you're constantly bringing us back to these divine principles and your word. And Father, we want to thank you for that. Because if it was not for your grace and mercy, we too would be wandering off looking for a new revelation, a new preacher, a new church, a new experience, just something new, all based on emotions and feelings. Thank God that we walk by faith and not by sight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Keep asking, seeking, knocking.
Seek ye first the
by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, beautiful words of Jesus. In these days, as he's feeding us out of his mouth, this is a word of life to us, a word that we take and we devour it, it becomes our very being, doesn't it? Man shall not live.